this.
Thank you. I have a dream. I have a word. Thank you. Who said that, by the way? I have a dream?
Martin Luther King.
Lately, I think about how I want to preach when I come to you guys. And it's on my heart to be loud and Pentecostal. And it's on my heart to be loud and Pentecostal. Somehow, I imagine myself as a black man. Just saying, "Holy Jesus, Lord, come down. That's my sister Marquita. She teaches the word, and I have a word this morning." And Jesus is that word. Amen. I love it. I love it. So I got a few things I want to talk about. We're going through the Gospel of Mark, and this passage this week is addressing the crowds that followed him. So Jesus obviously was a famous man of the day, and there's a few passages that lead up to where we're at now. I'd like to get to those, but first, I want to talk about fame a little bit. So I was researching fame, and one study says that fame is based on span of exposure, so years of exposure, as well as the frequency or the method of exposure. So radio is the main one. Radio has been around a long time. There's a lot of people on the earth that can hear the radio. And people who don't have internet, you know, can get radio, right? So people who came up as most popular were Whitney Houston, Celine Dion. I had to look those names up. But I knew the songs. I knew the songs. I've seen the Titanic. That song will make you cry. We should... I almost had Rick put that on, but we would all be crying. So another name that came up would be... Not really related to radio, but it would be someone like Martin Luther King, right? But he's more of a U.S. history guy. The musicians reached through the cultures and through the countries. So someone else that I've been thinking about a lot is my man Jay Biebs. I see Mike and Karen like, what? Let me say that again. Justin Bieber? Now, Sue, this is where I ask the question. I'm going to ask Sue Warnke something. And me and Riley have a bet on this. Do you know who Justin Bieber is?
Yes.
Oh! Woo! Okay. Just for the sake of it, who here doesn't know of Justin Bieber? Wow. So you guys all, Riley says that everybody in the world knows who Justin Bieber is, isn't it? I had to protest, you know. So, what? I just lost the bet. Yeah, that's fine. I better get used to that, right? My losing bets to my wife? Yeah. So... All right, let's get back to the scripture. Thank you. Justin Bieber has a lot of followers, and so does Jesus. Back in the day, Instagram wasn't really accessible yet. There wasn't a YouTube. You couldn't follow Jesus like that, but other ways was more intense. So let's just read a little recap of Mark here. You don't have to follow with me because I'm going to be a little scattered. Scattered with the scripture, not my thinking. Let you know. I'll just start at the beginning because it really does build the fame of who this guy is. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed like a prophet, and he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came and said, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Andrew, the son of the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught them. So now you guys can follow with me, all right? We're in Mark 1, 21. I'm reading the ESV. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and get out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching? With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Now I'm going to move down here to 33. And the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, but they knew him. Later on, the disciples say, "Everyone is searching for you." And if you go down a little bit more, chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was home. So, as you can tell, people are amazed. People hear of what he's doing. They want to see it. And it's even to the point where people are reporting where he is. So I think of like the paparazzi or something, you know, this is where Jesus is, this is what he's done. And Jesus is becoming so famous that there's something that happens with the Pharisees, like Marquita says, they're kind of the critics, and they're like the skeptics, if you will. I know that as Americans, we are very familiar with this. I think of the president, what happens like within the first week of his inauguration. People come out with all the junk, right? And that's so true of Jesus' day as well. Like he's famous. He's kind of at the top of the poll and the most views on YouTube. So everyone's looking for his junk, and that's the Pharisees. Then you got the crowds are the people who just want to be near him. They want to see what they've been hearing about, and they know that if they're sick, they'll get healed. And that's so cool to me. And then the third group would be the disciples. And those are people who are kind of like Jesus' friends. And he shows them things that the crowds don't get to hear. Now I'm going to read the passage for the day. It's Mark 3, verse 7 through 12. I'm going to read this one a little different. I'm going to get the Black Bronson out. Is that okay? Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, also from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan, from about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Amen. And so that right there is breaking down. They're coming from all directions, people. We've got the north, the south, the east, the west. The ocean's to the west. It's kind of like SoCal. So this would be like LA to San Diego, all the way to like maybe Riverside or Barstow. This is a lot of space. And to these people, this is pretty much, this is kind of the world, right? This is like close to, this is popular, right? So Jesus is real popular. He's like Jay Biebs. Or he's like Muhammad Ali or like Martin Luther King. But I'm here to tell you, he's bigger than them. Amen. Amen. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they should crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. So that's like, you know, if we had this whole place filled right now, and I didn't even have room for a microphone, that's kind of what's going on. And plus, everybody here knows, if you touch me, you get healed. Wouldn't that be cool? We'd have to get a bigger building. And whenever the unclean spirits beheld him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And Baron kind of touched on that as the messianic secret. So Jesus is this, he's almost like a mob leader, kind of, because later on you'll see in the next, the family members and friends actually think Jesus is kind of crazy, almost because he's got this big, huge crowd walking around with him, and he's just welcoming them. It's all good. I can't eat my food because you're all right here, but this is cool, you know. I've got something for you. So what I see funny in this a little bit is that the demons are telling the truth. Jesus is the Son of God, and they're falling down at his feet. And Jesus says, "Be quiet." But nowadays, he doesn't tell us to be quiet. He wants us to shout it. So there's a little bit of an irony here, because the people who are with Jesus, they want to get healed. It's like they don't really get it in the story yet, you know? But somehow the spiritual realm gets it. And it's like, I kind of think of a celebrity that we don't know of yet, like someone from Europe, or someone in the computer world that like Larry looks up to, that I have no idea who he is. And Larry's like, "Let me take your picture, blah, blah, blah." And he's like, "Come on, man, I'm trying to like just be undercover here." That's kind of what I think of the demons. So it's like paparazzi from the spiritual realm. That's some theology for you. Is that good? Hey, amen. Amen. What time we got here? I'm good. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we know famous. We get it. So let's talk about the crowd for a minute. I said before, we've got the disciples, we've got the crowd, and we've got the Pharisees. The crowd is desperate. You can kind of classify them as desperate and curious about Jesus. And one scholar says they're just interested in the miracles. So as if they're going to follow Jesus only to get something from him. And in this passage, it makes sense because they're They're crushing him, right? They're not really looking out for his well-being. They just want from him. I know I've been there. I've been so desperate before that, I just needed Jesus. I didn't care if he was going to get pushed out and into a boat. And I think that's okay. Part of that is human nature. I'll get practical for a second, but if Bill Gates was here and he was giving out credit cards, I mean, would you not want one of those things? A credit card that was unlimited, like something you could pay all your debts with plus live off of for the rest of your life. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I think people saw Jesus as in the day of, like, this guy will heal my body forever. He'll cast a demon out of me, and I don't have to worry about that stuff ever again. Like, that's how money is to us now, I think. You know, we are so kind of bogged down with this whole finance deal. It's silly. Jesus says, don't worry about it. So don't worry about it. If you lose your job, you'll be fine. So let's say Bill Gates is in here and everybody's rushing him to get these credit cards. That's kind of the crowd. Another scholar says that the crowds are generally for God, for Jesus, or against him. And in this passage, they're for what he's going to give them, right? But later on, they're the ones screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And some of them, however, stayed around and were part of the church, the early church in Acts. So it's not like they all said, it's not like they all turned against Jesus, but, can we say that? Yeah, let's just say some of them stuck around, right? Some of them stuck around. We'll just say that. So there's some scholarly research for you guys. I'm going to read a quote here. At times, great multitudes followed Jesus, but most of the time, only the 12 disciples walked with him. The scriptures show a vivid contrast between the disciples and the multitudes that were drawn to Jesus. It is much the same today. Many want to receive the benefits of being a Christian, but few are willing to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to follow the Lamb with wherever he should go. That's Revelation. So let's touch on these three categories for a second. We've got the Pharisees who are accusing Jesus, and they come to hate him. Then we've got the followers, the imitators, that's the disciples. Now we've got the desperate, the sick, and the needy. And I tend to believe that we can identify with any three of those categories at one point or another. You know, there might be one time in your life where you're just desperate for Jesus and you don't care about anything else, whatever's going to get in the way, you're going to rush him. And other times you're doing okay, you know, maybe you've been healed and you're kind of just wanting to be an imitator of him and you do your best and Jesus will reveal his secrets to you, you know, like he does with the disciples. And then there's other times where maybe you're questioning Jesus and, you know, questioning who he is and you're not sure and maybe you get a little grudge going on because he told you not to do something. And that doesn't happen, huh? No. Yeah, right. I know Adam says that most people that leave the church he has found have a problem with the moral restraints. And I think that could be true, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Adam. Speaking of Adam, yeah, that's not what I was thinking, but speaking of Adam, Adam's someone I like spending time with. And makes me think a little bit of who in your field of expertise or interest do you want to know better? So maybe photography, you know, who do you want to get to know? Who's the guy that took pictures of Yosemite? Like, so Ansel Adams, right? Wouldn't you love to get to know that guy and be his, like, his follower, his apprentice? That would be so cool. For me, it would be like, I want to get to know Adam really good, you know, or maybe a boxer. If you're a boxer like my dad, maybe Muhammad Ali. That'd be the best thing ever. And what this passage really kind of brings out, I think, is do we desire to be close to Jesus? Do we desire more than just what he can offer us? Or do we desire more just his infinite knowledge, you know? Kind of there can be like a pride in that, you know, gaining knowledge. But do we want him for more than just those things? Do we want to be his follower and care about what he cares about? In this passage, he asked the disciples to go get a boat so he can keep preaching. You know, how cool is that? I would love to be that disciple that goes and gets the boat so he can keep preaching. It would be an honor, right? So if you think about these people who you hold in high regard, Jesus should be higher than that. If we're followers of Christ, he should be the most famous person in our world ever. Like, there should never be anyone with more likes than him. That's for the millennials, the older people. There should be no more golden records sold to anyone other than Jesus Christ. And we should be spending all our money on that. We should be his number one fans. We call ourselves followers. Let's prove it. I love something Marquita said was, Jesus welcomes all who follow him. So in the scriptures even, he does this journey, he teaches, he rebukes demons, and he teaches the Pharisees, he questions the Sadducees, you know, he challenges them, whatever. But he never tells the crowd to, like, okay, die down, you know, like, you can't be here. There's too many people. He welcomes it. It's so cool because, you know, nowadays the celebrities all have bodyguards. And that's probably a good thing because we're kind of crazy fans out here. But Jesus doesn't really do that. He just kind of lets it happen. And you're going to crush me? Fine, but you need me and you want me, so that's cool. Everybody knows what cool is, right? Not the temperature, no. Not the temperature. I'm convicted by this passage because part of me forgets how big a deal Jesus is. It's been 2,000 years and we still know of him. And he healed me and he heals us, right? Jesus is a big deal. We should be honored to walk with him, to worship him, to say out his name and he doesn't rebuke us. We should be honored to fall at his feet. We should be honored to like his post, to buy his album. And I feel, this is me speaking, but I feel that I take it for granted sometimes. I spend more time, you know, watching Justin Bieber videos and... Amen. Maybe watching hockey or something and coming to church every week. It's just something we do, but, you know, I've been convicted, guys. It's important to realize who Jesus is and honor him. Like I said, it's been a long time, and this guy, he's the most famous person. Amen? Let's pray. Father, it's good to be near you. It's good to know you. And we'd love to help you get to people that don't know you, that need healing. We'd love to be healed. Lord, please have mercy on us when we do question you and when we just want from you. But like Megan said, let us just be near you. Ask your Holy Spirit, bring that to be. In the name of Christ, amen.